Can she earn herself a free point? Forehand into the net, off the racket of Cirenko. And Ash Barty gets it done on Rod Laver Arena on the opening night, inside an hour, 54 minutes to be exact. 6-love, 6-1 for the world number one.
Yes, indeed. She made very short work of it, did our world number one, Ash Barty. First set, in fact, lasted just 24 minutes. She looked faultless and absolutely impeccable, as you heard there, a call by our man, Brett Phillips, who joins us now for the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6 BP. Welcome.
Thank you, Sam. Yeah, it was almost a carbon copy of last year because she won her first round match against Kovanic from Montenegro. Love in about 44 minutes, so we thought it was going to eclipse that at one stage, but Cirenko, yeah, pinched a game late in the second set, but yeah, Ash was in complete control last night.
Just how we like it. So Italian qualifier Lucia Bronzetti in the second round, and then, I don't know, BP, maybe the 30th seed Camilla Giorgi in the third.
Yeah, Giorgi can be dangerous. I mean, she only knows how to play one way, Camilla, and that's absolutely built the living daylights out of that little fluffy yellow ball, the Dunlop tennis ball, Sam. So no subtlety there, but Ash, it's almost like she loves playing those type of opponents where you know, she can just feed off their pace and direct the ball and go to work with a bit of her great crafty tennis. So, yeah, one game down, Bronzetti next, take care of that. And, yeah, I think she looks really solid to me. But it's all going to come down to execution and the opponent on the day. So we don't look too far ahead, but there's every reason to be pretty positive.
One game at a time, BP. Yes. You know the AFL lingo. Aussie Ash did the job. Mixed results elsewhere for the rest of the Aussies. Johnny Millman had a nice four-set win, but Thanasi Kokkinakis, no joy. So it was a mixed bag elsewhere.
Yeah, a little bit of a letdown for Thanasi, which we often, as you know, Josh, see in sport, don't we? You can ride the high for a little while and then there's that little come down. And yeah, it's been really 2 weeks for Thanasi in Adelaide because he made a semi, made a final. His matches were, you know, real roller coasters, deep sets, plenty of emotion there, spin in front of a home crowd. So it's always hard to know totally, but, you know, there's just no given. Whoever you're playing in men's tennis, you just, there's no cruising through a first or second round anymore. The depth is there and you've got to be on. And yeah, the crowd was certainly making plenty of noise for him. They went pretty flat late in the piece, but he just couldn't get himself going. And Hanfman did play, you know, some good tennis. Credit to him. He was playing at a really good level yesterday. Yeah, John Millman will be wrapped to close that out in four sets. We called the last couple of sets of that last night when he was in control. And Lopez, you know, 40 years of age, it is the most beautiful serve to watch in tennis. 26 aces. He was hitting spots. I mean, you know, if you're using a cricket analogy, the outswing he was getting, no chance of getting a racket on it. But Millman really dug in and he'd be wrapped to, yeah, just save a bit of energy and get through in four.
I know we get behind all our Aussies, BP, but John Millman, I'm not sure if it's the journeyman in him or the Aussie battler nature of the man, but geez, he attracts some raucous support. And actually, a few louts probably in the crowd last night almost appeared to work in Lopez's favour. He seemed to feed off that for a time.
He did, yeah. Started the third when he was back to the wall and he had to change his game plan. He was basically just charging forward at any time, trying to make life difficult for Melbourne. There was a little section that was certainly getting into the whole match with a bit of banter. And my favourite chair umpire, just Mohamed Layani, the best dulcet tones in the business, Sam. Just keeping check of everyone. He does it with a smile. He'd be great to get on the radio, but unfortunately the chair umpires are not allowed to talk. We've got to somehow break that down in tennis because they are great characters. But you know, Millman was very good last night.
A couple of big stars did the job as well. Rafa Nadal won in straight sets, as did Naomi Osaka, winning 6-3, 6-3. So a couple of the big guns doing what they should be early in the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Osaka looked really good. I mean, then she was challenged once her opponent actually settled into playing on the biggest court she has, Osorio, from Colombia. And it made Naomi work in that second set, but I think Osaka would be pretty pleased with what she delivered. And yeah, Rafa, look, his movement is the thing we were looking at yesterday with that foot injury last year, but she looked like a gazelle just moving across the court. And yeah, too good for Marcos Giron, who actually played some terrific shots. I mean, he's a really good player, the stocky American. But yeah, Rafa, the more he can conserve energy and play shorter matches in the first week. I mean, once upon a time, we'd sort of pencil him in for a semi, but, you know, life has changed. He's 10 years older than all those guys in and around the top 10, so he's still got his work cut out, I think, to win 7 matches in 2 weeks, but he brings all the experience as well.
BP, I know you're not one to get carried away, but just coming back to the Aussies, did we see a star being born yesterday? 25-year-old wildcard Alexander Vukic. Now, this is a huge scalp. 4-set win over the 30th seed Lloyd Harris.
Well, I'll say this, Sam. I think he's got the game that could certainly get him into double figures in the rankings. I mean, if you can be inside that top 100 in your career and stay there for, you know, 5 to 10 years, then you're carving out a pretty good career. You're winning more matches than you lose. You're clearly earning more money than you spend. You're actually making a fist of being a professional tennis player as you're living. And that's where I think he's got the game to at least get to. And then once you're inside that top 100, it's such small margins. I mean, a lot of guys can play very similar type tennis. They've got, you know, the similar type technology with the rackets and everything else. But he's a hard worker. And that's, look, the Aussies have got that, as opposed maybe to some other players around the world. They just have got that ingrained in them, that hard work. And Demonor, Thompson, Milman, Vukic is another tight product of that. But he's got a big serve, big forehand. He's got a couple of assets there that can certainly take him higher. So hopefully he walks away yesterday and goes, hey, I belong, you know, with these type of guys now.
Now, this evening, Aussie Nick Kyrgios gets underway. Mm. Now, we've just been having a chat here. We're wondering about his very, very short price favourite to win tonight against Liam Brody. He's coming off of COVID. If you give a percentage terms, what chance have you got Kyrgios versus Brody? Is this game going to be a lot closer than the odds would have us believe?
Well, this is the hard bit, Josh, with Nick. I mean, if there's one guy that can just sort of walk in, it's a bit like someone, you know, maybe not having done a pre-season hardly, and they've just got this freakish talent that can hit the ground running, it is Kyrgios. I mean, I'm sure his legs mightn't be on fire tonight, but what he's got is that huge serve that he can get so many free points off. So he'll be relying on that tonight. Look, Brody comes in with some momentum. He's played 3 qualifying matches, so he's got some really good competitive play under his belt, but he's nowhere near the player and the talent of Nick Kyrgios. So, yeah, we'll get a bit of a feel early. Just how engaged he is, that'll be pretty telling. Mm. But he's on John Cain, his home court, where they absolutely make a noise that I don't hear anywhere else in tennis, probably apart from maybe Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York. So, yeah, I would think he should be able to win on talent, but we just need to see him physically, in that first half hour or so.
And Alex Demonor in action as well tonight, Margaret Court Arena BP, the 32nd seed.
Aussies everywhere tonight. Mm. Not sure what we're going to cover. We're going to have a little meeting on that, I think. We'll have Demonor, Kyrgios, and we're going to have Storm Sanders playing Sabalenka on centre court, all playing roughly at the same time. But yeah, I think, look, the Demons' preparation, Sam, is superb in that he missed Sydney last week. So not playing a lead-up, just getting to Melbourne a bit fresher. He's often come to the Australian Open having played maybe too many matches and feeling a little fatigued. But I think he'll be bouncing tonight, ready for Musetti. And, I expect Alex to win that.
One serious question and one little facetious one for you, BP, because Coco Gauff, your roughie, went surprisingly under in her first round match. What happened to Coco?
Yeah, she was beaten by a very good player.
Jeez, his tone. Tone's changed, BP. It's gone through the floor.
Well, look, Coco, I mean, how old is she, 12? No, 17. I mean, I feel like she's about 27, but she's been around that long, but she's got so much tennis ahead of her. These are little blips, aren't they, on the radar?
Sure.
We probably just built it up that we expected to win all the time, and she's achieved things that not too many at her age have. But no, she ran into Wong yesterday. China have got some really, really good players who make life pretty difficult. And Pat Cash is an interesting one. He's never been a full-time, year-in, year-out coach, but he sort of takes on certain gigs, and he does make players better. Pat, so yeah, he's got another good one here.
And on a more serious note, what was the atmosphere like around the tournament yesterday, being on the ground? Because many questions about, we know what it looks like inside the main arenas with only 50% capacities, but was there a normal amount of people getting around the venue as a whole yesterday?
it seemed a little quieter when I walked out there. I'm in the cocoon of Rod Laver mainly, but I did go for a little bit of a wander, and it seemed a little bit subdued. But then you sort of went out to a couple of the outside courts, and it was pretty packed. I mean, I think, the ground pass holders like to actually watch the tennis in the first 3 or 4 days. But, yeah, it seemed a nice, relaxed mood. I went out there about 6:30 before we went on air last night, and everyone, it was pretty normal, and just watching the tennis and enjoying Melbourne Park. It's just a beautiful precinct. The layout is so big. I mean, no one's ever on top of each other. So, there was no sign of any trouble or anything. I think it was all pretty good.
Gee, it's a great facility down there, isn't it? ABP, love the first serve yesterday. Geez, it was great listening. And you had Courtney Walsh on there, who absolutely knows his stuff inside out. So we've had a pretty fascinating chat. You had a pretty fascinating chat about this time yesterday on where things might sit with Craig Tiley as well, and the future and what it holds for him is going to be interesting, because one of the country's probably top sports administrators, and up until events of the last week or so, you would have had him still up there. But questions need to be answered on that. But that's for another time. We're loving the tennis on court, Brett. I really appreciate your time, and we'll speak to you tomorrow.
Good on you guys. Have a good day. Good to chat.